Blog Talk Radio.
Take a licking. There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Welcome to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Menapro, providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. Menapro, nurturing life. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer. My co-host is poultry advocate and author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles, Pat Borman. Today is Wednesday, April 27th, and I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. You can follow the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show 24 hours a day at our website, chickenwhisperer.com. That's chickenwhisperer.com. From there, you can follow us on Twitter, become a fan on Facebook, visit our blog, sign up for our monthly e-newsletter, The Chicken Scratch, and get all kinds of great Chicken Whisperer gear. If you're listening live today on Blog Talk Radio, I invite you to join us in the live chicken chat room that's going on right now. You can talk with other Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer fans and other chicken owners from around the world. You can also ask any questions you may have for our special guest when we have them on. All you have to do is click on the Chat Now button there at our homepage at Blog Talk Radio. Take a moment to register, just a moment. That'll get you your own unique, fun, and creative screen name. Then you can come on into the chat room, sit a spell, have a great time, meet some new friends, talk all about our passion and hobby and lifestyle of backyard poultry, show poultry, sustainable living, urban farming, urban gardening, and anything else that might tickle your fancy. I would also like to invite you to mark this radio show as a favorite and request to be on our friends list while you're there at Blog Talk Radio. We hope you'll take a moment to do this today. And again, I want to thank you all for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, brought to you by Manapro.
Manapro is committed to providing the best quality products that your animals deserve at a value you can appreciate. No matter the animal, no matter the product, you can be certain that Manapro cares as much about the well-being of your flock as you do. So try one of the many poultry products offered at a retailer near you. Manapro, nurturing life.
You've ordered your new baby chicks and even have the brooder prepared, but now it's time to order that new chicken coop. My Amish Goods offers quality-built chicken coops for every size flock and budget. They have many styles and colors to choose from and will ship them fully assembled right to your front door. Act now and receive a special upgrade at no additional charge. Visit them online at myamishgoods.com. That's myamishgoods.com. Looking for something? Find it online at Bidbird Auctions. Bidbird.com is an online auction service that caters specifically to the poultry, waterfowl, game bird, and pigeon hobbyists. With so many rare and exciting species listed daily and in a wide variety of categories, you'll want to visit often. Join hundreds of the nation's top breeders that have made Bidbird Auctions their new home. And get sold on Bidbird.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com, that's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Hi, I'm country music artist Nathan Osmond, and you're listening to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
And the mighty bird against prejudice continues his fight for law and order. So when you hear that cry in the sky, you'll know it's Super Chicken.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. It is hump day, which means it is Wednesday. We have a great show lined up for you today. Our good friend Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder and owner of First State Vet Supply, will be here shortly, and he's going to be talking, really interesting show today. He's going to be talking about some of the many calls he's received over the last 7 to 10 days to kind of let you know what's going on out there across the country. He does receive calls from all over the country about problem birds and issues that people are having. And so we decided over the next few minutes, when he joins us, he'll be talking about some of the specific issues he's dealing with specifically across the country right now, which will be really interesting, and covering some things. And then we're also going to take your phone calls and your questions from the chat room a little bit later in the show. We'll start off by Peter kind of sharing, again, some of the main topics he's working on right now with chicken owners around the country. And then towards the end, we will take your phone calls and questions out of the chat room for Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. So we've got that going on today on this Wednesday. And, of course, we'll be issuing a little later in the show today's secret password. It's just about to wrap up our password collection for poultry protection chicken coop contest. It started on Friday, April the 1st. The last password will be issued tomorrow, Thursday, April 28th, which should give us 20 total passwords. And then this Friday, on the 29th, not sure where I'll be broadcasting live from. We'll be on the road heading up to Virginia for a big event Saturday, but we will have a show this Friday if I have to do it on the side of the road and broadcast live from the SUV. We will do that to give away this awesome coop provided by critter-cages.com. And so hopefully you've been collecting the passwords. If not, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. We've posted every day the secret password on our Facebook page, which also carries over to our Twitter page. So the correct caller on Friday that can recite all 20 passwords is going to win that beautiful coop from critter-cages.com. It's a beautiful chicken coop valued at about $400, and it'll be shipped directly to your front door. Some assembly is required. So we're really looking forward to that. Don't forget tomorrow, another great episode of Back Home Magazine Hour with Richard Frudenberger. He'll be here, and we'll have, I'm sure, an interesting topic that we will be talking about tomorrow. So as always, make sure you have your Chicken Whisperer Spiral Notebook by the computer nice and handy to take all the notes from all these experts from across the nation we welcome here on the radio show. And then, can't believe it, you never know, we're getting into May. Can you believe it? April's already gone. Where did it go? And then all of a sudden we'll be into May. So how cool is that? Let's see. Today's Wednesday. Wednesday is brought to you by Ware Manufacturing. And towards the end of the show, we'll have a chicken trivia contest question. And you'll win a nesting box, a wooden nesting box from Ware Manufacturing. And so we've got that today. How cool is that? And just a really good show. In case you're wondering, you didn't hear the drum roll, got a phone call about 30 minutes ago from my wonderful co-host, Pat Foreman, and there is a meeting going on in her town, apparently about chicken waste and then making that waste into energy and runoff and issues like that. And so she wanted to go to that, obviously, because she had a lot of questions to ask about the roxazone and the arsenic that's in the feed that they're feeding the broiler chickens, and how that ends up in the waste, and what are they doing with the waste, and does that roxazone and the arsenic end up in our water supply and in the land. And so she's taken that opportunity with gangbusters. So she called me about 11:30 and was heading that way. So she may try to call in. I will occasionally be looking at the switchboard. I told her if she gets any time, they take any breaks, or if she gets any people along the side that would like to that she'd interview, then to definitely give us a call. So we'll see. She wasn't real sure exactly the format, but she did know she wanted to attend. So she is heading that way. I'm sure she'll fill us in tomorrow when she's here on that neat event that she's attending right now. It, of course, started at noon. And so if it ends before the end of the show, maybe Pat will call in and update us on what's going on and what she was doing there. But when we first got on the air and we were in the chat room, I asked any of our regular listeners in the chat room if they wanted to be a co-host for the day. And we've done this in the past before, and we've had some great co-hosts like Grover and, oh my goodness, I'm trying to think of her name, Miss Fanning, I can't remember her last name. And so we've had several guest co-hosts in the past, and today is no exception. So I'll go ahead, even though it's pretty much reserved for Pat, and do the drum roll. Because it's now time to introduce our guest co-host for today. You know her in the chat room as Red Hawk. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing today?
I'm hanging in there. It's still, I'm not under the weather by any means, but I'm just kind of groggy today. I just can't, I know one reason why. Jen didn't sleep real well last night, which means, guess what? I didn't sleep real well last night. So then we were up early, and then we got these storms rolling through. So I was kind of getting prepared for that. And then it's been a busy morning, and I just haven't really, I don't know.
Hey, this weather is enough to get anybody under the weather.
Yeah, no kidding. So I don't know if it's just I just can't get into the day, can't get motivated, whatever it is, just kind of ho-hum. But I love it. Every day at noon I get to broadcast live and with wonderful people like you and all the great people in the chat room. But so far today it's just been kind of one of those days. How about yourself?
I am having a terrific day. Been working on my big event here, Remembering the Farm and Chicken Swap, and I've been getting all kinds of things sent to me to give away. It's been a really great day.
Very good. I know you got that big event coming up with our Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup group, and that's really cool, and that's great. You're getting lots of things donated for door prizes and things to give away and maybe silent auction and things, so that's really good. You're doing a great job out there in Douglasville, Georgia, and folks, if you're listening, there are a lot of great local chicken groups out there that you can get involved with. They're all over America, one of the best ways to find some in your area would be going to meetup.com. That's www.meetup.com. And then search for keywords like poultry, pet chickens, backyard chickens, and you can find a local meetup, not just a website where you can join where people are all over the country, but actually people in your town. Like, for example, the Atlanta Backyard Poultry Meetup Group is, pardon me, has over 1,500 members now, just 3 years old. In fact, it'll be 3 years old actually coming up on the 28th, so we're about to celebrate our birthday. 3 years old. I think it was created in 2008, 9, 10, 11. Yep, 3 years old. And we already have over 1,500 members here locally in Atlanta, and we meet all over the city, up on the north end, and we meet inside the perimeter, inside in town. We meet out west in Douglasville, out east in Conyers, and we've got organizers that run those groups in those specific areas. So I know there's a great big one in Austin. There's one in Raleigh. There's one in Little Rock. There's one in Denver. There's one in Sacramento. There's one in Tallahassee. There's one up in, New Jersey. Columbus, Ohio.
And if they don't have one, Andy, they can do and start one up.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. We normally have a coupon code that you can use, and it's based on paying for the website and the service monthly. If you just pay by the month, I think it's $19 a month. If you pay for the whole year, it drops it down, I think, somewhere around $10 a month. You go ahead and pay for the whole year. Normally, I can get you probably a coupon, which gives you 50% off, say, a three-month agreement or longer. And then, again, it's so much better than Yahoo Groups. Nothing against Yahoo Groups, but I've been involved in some of those, and there's just no comparison between the software you have. It's so easy to work between meetup.com and having a local group versus your Yahoo group, which is just kind of an email chain. And you get a billion emails every day if you belong to a lot of those based on your setting. So nothing wrong with Yahoo groups. I belong to a couple. But the meetup.com, if you're looking to do a local group and actually meet up in the area and have meetings and supper and break bread with your members and meet some folks firsthand, it's really really a good time, and so that's what we prefer. And you can meet local people and meet up, and then you can have people. You can sign up guest speakers to come out to your. You can even do like we've done a lot here. We've done actually Skype webinars with our meetup group, where we set up the laptop and we get the laptop card, and we've had Pat Foreman, and we've had Peter Brown, we've had Dr. McCray, and I'm sure they would be more than happy to come and talk to your meetup group via Skype, and Skype is free. So how cool is that? So yeah, we're doing the meetup.com is really, really cool if you're looking for a local chicken meetup group, and it's very successful in many places, especially Austin as well, and Atlanta, and some of those others I mentioned earlier. So we invite you to get involved. Okay, let's see here. Let me scroll down here. I posted a lot of chickens in the news earlier this morning. All at one time. So some people out there on Facebook may have got aggravated because I posted like four or five all at once, and I just wanted to get them out there and get them done so I could move on to the next little project I had going on today. So it is now time for Chickens in the News. Our Chickens in the News segment is brought to you by Meyer Hatchery. Yep, Meyer Hatchery up in Polk, Ohio. And great folks up there. They even have a retail store there at their hatchery. You can walk in and get books and pluckers and nesting boxes and all kinds of neat gifts for your barn and your household wares, things like that. Really cool retail store right there at the hatchery. And you can visit them online at meyerhatchery.com. Okay, let me scroll down here. Many of you longtime listeners and chat room chicken ears. Thank you very much for that. Tater Farm says she enjoys all my posts. It's all good information. Thank you. And of course, sometimes I'm, normally I won't just put all six at one time if people get flooded and they're like, oh, golly. But this morning I had a bunch of things to do, so I just posted them all and said, okay, there you go. I'm done with it. So thanks for the comment in the chat room. And of course, if you're a longtime listener in chat room, you know what I'm about to say when I read you the title to this. But and I bring you these stories just to make you aware that this does happen. You need to protect your chickens. But it seems like, I don't know, every couple of months, every 3 months, it'll come across the news wire. And here's the title. This is, comes to us from thedailyjournal.com, thedailyjournal.com. And it was written by, let's see, Deborah Marco. She's a staff writer there. Pit bull kills 21 chickens and turkeys in East V-Land. Pit bulls kill 21 chickens and turkeys in East V-Land. Vineland, an East Vineland man walked out of his home to find two pit bulls attacking and killing his livestock. The man told police he entered his backyard on the 3700 block of East Chestnut Avenue at 6 a.m. Monday and was confronted by a white and tan pit bull and an all-brown pit bull. The white and tan dog charged at him, but the man said he shouted at the dog, causing it to stop. Looking around, he noticed the dogs had killed several chickens and turkeys he had had in contained pens. He backed up slowly and called police. The dogs were acting aggressively, continuing to attack chickens in another pen when police arrived. An animal control officer recognized the dogs as belonging to Man K. Bryant, 34, who lives on the 2300 block of Dahlia Dale Drive. Bryant responded to the Chestnut Avenue property to pick up his dogs. Boy, we would have had a little conversation there when he would have come over to my property and pick up his dogs. Police said the dogs were able to get into two separate pens by pulling down a wooden wall and partially opening a gate. The final death count was 21 animals, 15 chickens, and 6 turkeys valued at $700. Bryant told police he had left the dogs, named Zoe and Shaka, inside his home on the rear porch. Now, that's not inside his home. It's either on the rear porch or inside his home. When he went out Sunday, when he returned at 2 a.m., he said he noticed the dog somehow had gotten out. He told the police unsuccessfully searched for them for about an hour. Bryant was issued 2 summonses for allowing his dogs to run at large. And so it sounds like a small claims court, $700, that Mr. Bryant should have to pay. So it's going to be interesting. And, of course, I put on our Facebook page another story about some irresponsible dog owners, As always, when I post this on our Facebook page, anything about stories like this, we really get a lot of comments from many of the same folks that comment every time I post this, and some new comments from our newcomers. And the very first one was, and I'll just say again, irresponsible dog ownership. I don't blame the dog at all. Some dogs are bird dogs, some dogs hunt, some dogs are aggressive. It's the owner's fault for allowing their dogs to get loose. Bottom line. The very first comment that was posted after I posted this news was, I never saw a dog that a 38 wouldn't stop. Okay, and we've actually reported on this many, many times over the years about dogs that have been shot and killed by chicken owners. And it's really a lose-lose situation for everybody. But I know in many, many states, many towns, many cities, it is legal to shoot and kill those dogs that are attacking you. Are your property, are your animals, are your livestock. It's absolutely legal. So I think someone put in the chat room, well, yeah, you can't really shoot the owners of the dogs, but let's see. Some of the other comments, let's see what we got without getting too long. Somebody says they do the triple S, shoot, shovel, and shut up. That's their policy. And let's see here. Why weren't those dogs actually shot on sight by the police if they're being aggressive to people? That's a good question, because we often hear about dogs being shot by the police that charge them or are aggressive. And says, where I live, you have the right to kill any animal attacking your livestock. I have a neighbor who allows their dog to constantly run loose, and it was killed over, and it has killed over 35 of my chickens and 2 goats. No one will do anything about it, and I can't get a bead on it, okay? So let's see here. We've got here's the same.
I hope they at least make the owners pay for what, you know, the dog did. That's my view, at least. You get something back out of it.
Okay, let's see. I am curious, why did this article get put up? Okay, Sandy must be new. Sandy Coy, she must be new because if she's been following us for any length of time, over 2 years, I just about always post articles about dogs attacking chickens. I don't care what kind of dog it is. And so she it looks like she got on the defensive, saying, I am curious why this article got put up. Because it was a pit bull? If so, shame on you. Any dog can and will attack another animal. They all have prey drive. The media has gone a long way towards destroying a good dog. Are you falling into the pet bull trap? Remember Petey on the Little Rascals. He was a pet bull. They are not bad dogs. They are just some bad owners out there. And so, again, Sandy, you may be new to Facebook or a new fan. So let me just tell you, and anybody out there can tell you, about every 2 months I'll get news reports, and we've had golden retrievers, we've had mutts, we've had bird dogs, we've had German shepherds, we've had, I probably even posted something about a poodle. So I could care less if it was a pit bull or a golden retriever or a Brittany Spaniel or a Cocker Spaniel or a King Charles Cavalier. I could care less. I post this article because lots of people comment on this. They need to know to keep their chickens safe from predators, and they need to know that this actually happens. It has nothing to do with pit bull. I could care less what kind of dog it is, and this is maybe one of the first articles I put was a pit bull that actually attacked the chickens, most all of the other. And it seems like about every 2 months we'll post something like this about dogs attacking chickens. Most of the time the dogs are shot by the owner. This is one of the first stories in a long time where the dogs weren't shot and killed by the owner of the chickens. And so so I did post this one as well. So, you know, had nothing to do with pit bull. Nope. And like I said, it's I completely and 100% blame the owners, not the dogs themselves, because I know that's just what happens. I completely blame the owners for not being responsible. And in all these cases, it was these owners. Oh, well, we just let them out for a few minutes, and voila, they're 4 miles away killing chickens. So irresponsible dog owners is who I blame. You got any dogs out there in Douglasville that run around?
Oh, I have several that run around my neighborhood, but I'm a responsible chicken owner. My chicken pens have not only chicken wire around them, but chain link, and then they have chicken wire on top and underneath and all the way around. Even though in the wood, I have wire. So I try desperately to protect them. And still, I've had dogs open up one of the pens once and get a chicken, but I managed to chase it down.
Nah. Very good. Very good. We've got one more here. If you're living up in the New Jersey area, the Republic. Actually, not New Jersey. This comes to us, let's see. Columbus, Indiana, but they're reporting on New Jersey. Controlled cockadoodling. New Jersey town limits when roosters, hens can hook up in backyards. And we had talked about this before, but Hopewell Township, New Jersey. A New Jersey town has adopted an ordinance that regulates when chickens and roosters can hook up in backyard hen houses. Roosters must show they're disease-free, and they better not crow about their conquests. Hopewell Township residents can have up to half a dozen hens on half-acre lots. Roosters would be allowed only 10 days a year for fertilization, just 10 days a year. Mature roosters are not allowed because they're too noisy. Any roosters that crow too long can be banned from the property for 2 years. Mayor Jim Bird told the Times of Trenton the ordinance is a compromise between today's lifestyle and the township's agricultural history. And we reported on this a little bit back with the roosters having conjugal visits in that town. So it's someone else caught wind of that and was reporting on that. And there's a couple of more news articles that you can see on our Facebook page. Just go to facebook.com/thechickenwhisperer. We try to post all the ones that we feel that you might enjoy and are relevant regarding backyard poultry, regardless if it has pit bull or not. If it was a chihuahua killing chickens, I would have posted that story. So very, very good. All righty. Let's see what time it is. Well, it's right on the dot, 12:30. We're going to go ahead and go to a short commercial break. When we come back, very proud and honored to bring on Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Again, he's going to be sharing with us some of the some of the things that he's been dealing with over the last 7 to 10 days, last couple of weeks, with callers calling in with issues all over the country. And then we're going to take your calls. Where else in America, nowhere else, has live chicken radio like we do here? No one's given away more chicken coops than us. No one's given away more prizes than us. And where else can you get expert advice from people all over the country, experts in their field, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer? So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break.
First State Vet Supply is your one-stop shop to keep your birds healthy and happy. They have a wide selection of medications, vaccines, vitamins, wormers, and much more. Every product comes with specific directions and doses for your small backyard flock. Have questions about a sick or injured chicken? Take advantage of First State Vet Supply's Ask the Chicken Doctor program. For just $25, you can have a personal phone consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. The consultation fee is waived if you purchase a product from First State Vet Supply. Visit them online at firststatevetsupply.com. That's firststatevetsupply.com.
When you need an incubator, think Brensea, the incubation specialist. Brensea has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensea.com. Brensea spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensea.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensea, technology you can trust. Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
If you're looking for a unique gift idea for that dog, cat, horse, or chicken lover, then look no further than HobbyHillFarm.com. They have a wide selection of gifts for both the home and farm. My favorite is the chicken noodle soup with noodles shaped like chickens. I'm sure you'll find everything you're looking for at HobbyHillFarm.com. That's HobbyHillFarm.com.
Let's do one more here.
Ideal Poultry has been a family-owned and operated business since 1937. Their business is built on customer service and quality poultry, from rare white and brown egg layers to broilers, ducks, turkeys, and bantams. Ideal Poultry is the largest supplier of backyard poultry in the United States, shipping close to 5 million chicks annually. Visit them online at idealpoultry.com. That's idealpoultry.com.
This looks like a job for
Super Chicken.
You get the super sauce, I'll don my super suit.
Alrighty, thank you very much for staying with us today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. I just posted in the chat room, and y'all know me, y'all been listening a long time enough. I'm not a big fan of government health care for many reasons, and that's not what this show's all about at all. But it is related. People like to know what I'm doing and what's going on with my life and all that kind of stuff. So I share things with y'all that I'm going through, and then y'all can, many of you out there across the land can relate. I just, you know, as y'all know, we're making the big move. Some people have, lately have said, oh, you're living the American dream. I wish I could do that and move out to the middle of nowhere and have a little homestead and grow my own vegetables and have our little animals and have a little farmhouse and da-da-da-da-da-da and raise our kids out there instead of where we're raising them. So we've made that decision. And so there's a lot going on, and we're busy with the move, the remodel, the whole nine yards, and still, you know, keeping our house here while we can move and, you know, the work and the whole nine yards. Y'all know Jen's been a teacher, has many degrees in teaching, specialist, master's, the whole nine yards. And so we're prepared for our child and for our life to downsize, get rid of the crap that we don't need, and the Blackberries may be next. We don't pay for TV or anything like that. My truck's a 1983. We have a 1996 Jeep, and we have a newer vehicle, 2008, that we got for reliability when we do travel around the country. But nonetheless, she gave me a call this morning, and to back up a little bit, I've been self-employed for many years before I did this. I was self-employed for about 10 years, even before we got married, and I paid our health care out of pocket. I did because it's important to me, and so I basically made that decision. And health care for me and Jen for several years after we were married, before she got her teaching job and got health care through work, which has actually declined every year she's been a teacher. And so I paid out of pocket because it was important to us, and it was ended up just for us two, for me and her. Between around $500 a month. It was around $5 to $550 a month, and I did that for several years. Sure, I would have loved to have a nice F-150 pickup truck. I would have loved to have a nice truck or a BMW or whatever, but I didn't. I chose to provide health care for my family, and I did that, and it cost me $550 a month. And so I wasn't going to go out and buy a BMW and then claim, oh, I can't afford health care because I have a BMW to pay for. And that's either near or there, but that was our philosophy. Well, with Jen leaving school, she has applied for a job through, again, the State Department of Education, where she can work at home and still teach, pretty much still have all her benefits. It would be a tremendous pay cut, but the benefits, she would still have those. So she's in the interview process for that right now, so we're keeping our fingers crossed. But we're fully prepared, if she doesn't get that, for her to be a stay-at-home mom, homeschooler, and do what we can to survive, because that's our choice, and we want to do that. So she called me earlier this morning, and she said, I talked to the insurance company, and even though the county only pays like $50 towards her health, you know, a group plan, and so they already get discounted rates, but the state education department puts in a lot for her health insurance. We only see the part that the county puts in. So we were under the impression that if we went to COBRA for the next 1 or 2 years, whatever you qualify for that, however long it takes, that it would be what we're paying now out of her monthly check plus the $40 or $50 that the county pays. So she called me up today and she says, well, I talked to them about this. And with, you know, of course, when the baby's born, when Caleb gets here, we'll go to a family plan. And that'll only go up, you know, what we're paying now, about $35 or $40 to go from employee plus spouse to employee plus family. It only goes up about $35 or $40. So, but she said with COBRA on that particular plan, and she's covered through the end of August with her current contract, and then starting in September, if we wanted to do COBRA, it would be $1,300 per month. In fact, the exact number was $1,302 and some pennies for monthly insurance for myself and my wife and Caleb. So $1,300 a month. So again, I'm telling you, I'm still prepared to do whatever I can, if whatever is possible, to get rid of my Blackberries, to get rid of any kind of insignificant crap, bells and whistles that we have, even if it means selling our newer car, to just drive our older cars, to get rid of that payment, to do whatever I can do to pay for my health care, for my family. I could use that $1,300 a month to go out and buy a new BMW. Hell, I could probably buy a convertible Mercedes at $1,300 a month, brand new convertible Mercedes. But and then say, oh, I can't afford health insurance because I drive a convertible Mercedes that I could be paying for my health insurance. So I know it's a lot more than just that. That's just my philosophy. But $1,300 a month for a family plan, that's with COBRA. I haven't really started searching on our own. I was a Blue Cross or Blue Shield, and in my opinion, never use them again. and so we with United Healthcare now. So that's kind of what if I seem a little hum today with everything else that's going on, finding out that $1,300 a month for family insurance. But again, I'm willing as a husband, a responsible American, to try to do what I can. If I have to pay $1,300 a month for that, to do it. And getting rid of the bells and whistles to provide health insurance for my family, because I'm not one to say, oh, I can't afford it. I can't afford insurance while I have a BlackBerry and a Coach purse and a convertible BMW, and then say, oh, I can't afford health insurance. That's just not the way I roll. Where have you heard that before? So anyway, that's my two cents worth. But people were talking about it in the chat room, and often want to know kind of what's going on with your life, Chicken Whisperer, because we love you and we support you and you've become a good friend, and so that's what I'm dealing with. I'll keep you abreast of that situation as we go along. So, but getting back to backyard poultry, it is now time to bring on, speaking of healthcare, my good friend. Seen him many times across the country at different events, and probably the next time I'll see him will be at Crossroads up in Minneapolis. That is Peter Brown, founder and owner of First State Vet Supply, also known as the Chicken Doctor. Welcome to the show, Peter.
Hey, Andy.
Welcome,
how are you,
Peter.
Today? Hey, how
are
you doing?
My co-host today, Red Hawk from the chat room, and she's a good friend and runs our part of our meetup group here in the Atlanta area. Pat couldn't be with us. She is attending a really important meeting all about chicken waste runoff and disposal and things and kind of in her town, in her backyard. So she's going to fill us in on all of that when she comes back tomorrow. But today we're going to be talking about just a lot of things, a lot of calls that Peter's taken. Let me tell you, folks, because I hear this all the time on my Facebook page, on Twitter, with the meetup groups all over the country, and people posting me emails, you know, it's oh, I have this sick chicken, what do I do? You know, and I'm not an avian veterinarian. I don't have a poultry degree. I don't have a PhD in poultry. I can share with you my past experience. I can share with you if those are symptoms maybe my chickens had, kind of how I dealt with that. But other than that, it's just going to be my opinion on my experience over the years of keeping backyard poultry. So I get a lot of that. How do I do this? What's going on? Then they give me the symptoms. And so I refer those to a lot of the experts so these people get the accurate information. But I often hear, oh, it's 2 hours to the closest avian vet, or there's not one in our area, or I took them to the vet and they wanted $150. Just to see it. You know, I saw a post today, I took my chicken in because it was sick and I wanted to have it put down humanely, and the vet laughed at me. The vet laughed at her. So anyway, so that's another issue as well. But so, folks, I mean, I hear all these complaints, but there is an answer. There is an avenue you can take. I'm going to plug this because Peter's with us today, and Peter has an awesome program. He not only does he own First State Vet Supply, but he's got an awesome program, Ask the Chicken Doctor. $25. I mean, some of y'all pay more than that for a single bird. Okay, and $25 could help cure your entire flock of an illness. $25. And what you do is you can go to his website, firststatevetsupply.com, and you can call that number there, and he will consult with you. $25. Come on, people. $25 consultation fee. And he's a great guy. If he doesn't feel like he helped you with your illness or whatever, he's not going to charge you. And then if you buy things that you need anyway to help your birds live from his website, then in many cases that consultation fee for $25 is waived. So what a great program for just $25, and then you're going to get good information. Not information from a forum where, oh, you can do this or I did this and it's wrong, and we've seen a lot of bad information out there on forums. We have. But now you can get good information for a $25 consultation fee. And all of his chicken stuff, all of his, whether it be vaccines or medications or additives, whatever it is, they all come with dosing information based per bird, per small flock. So you don't have to go out and buy a $200 Texas Instruments calculator to figure out the doses for all this medication that you're going to get when it says mix this powder into 800 gallons of water. It's amazing. All of that comes specifically for basically per chicken that you need to treat. So right there is going to save you $25 in time just trying to figure out the doggone dose. So,
I love getting those bags.
It's just crazy. Mixing 800 gallons of water. So
I take
so
mine to the pharmacy.
Yeah,
I take mine to the pharmacist and said, help.
Exactly. That's a great idea.
I don't have this many birds. I just have one.
No kidding. That's great. And they can figure it out. So use that as your advantage, folks. Use that to your advantage. All righty, Peter, we're going to go ahead and get started. And I hope you're doing well. Thank you very much for joining us again. And sure. Peter joins us the second and fourth Wednesdays of every month. And today he's going to, like we said, talk a little bit about some of the things he's heard recently from people that have used his consultation program. And so you kind of know what's going on out there. Peter.
Yeah, I thought we'd talk a little bit today about several different issues that have come to light here recently. We're at that time of the year again. A lot of people are hatching and putting down a lot of chicks and seeing a lot of problems with coccidiosis again. It's amazing to me that with all the medications we have and all the knowledge that's been put out about coccidiosis, not only from myself but different universities and so on, that this is still a huge, huge issue. I had two folks this morning already with this type of an issue. So I wanted to go back through and make people aware of, you know, what you're going to see. Most people think that the first thing they're going to see is blood in the droppings. And that will not necessarily occur as the first thing you see. It may be the last thing you see. So you can't always use that as a judgment as to whether or not the birds have coccidiosis or not. But one of the first things you definitely will see is the lethargy in the birds. Very lazy, sleepy, standing around either on one leg or both legs, sleeping, standing up, off in the corner with their eyes closed. The other thing, the droopy wings and the ruffled feathers are probably the first thing you're going to see. And again, the last thing you may see is the blood and the droppings, because that means at that point it has gotten so severe within the intestine that it's starting to slough off pieces of the intestine and starting to bleed. That generally doesn't happen right in the beginning. So I have had people call me, and one of the reasons I wanted to bring this up was that, you know, when you're trying to rear chickens and you've got a couple hundred on the ground, and after a month all you've got left is 15 or 20 chickens, it's pretty sad.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, you know, the control should start when birds are 7 to 10 days of age. You can pick your poison that you want to use, whether it's sulfadimethoxine or Ampril. I recommend that you don't use one all by itself, that you rotate the two around. I would also suggest, and I know there are people who will argue with me, but we have the research and the evidence to prove it. Stay away from the sulbut. Very, very hard on the kidneys. I've seen several people last year use this product and just completely destroy their flocks. And they were giving it correctly. We went through, we looked at everything, and it was just the drug itself. And whether it was the way the birds metabolized it, I have no idea, but all I know is that the kidneys were destroyed and the birds had to be put down. So,
Peter, is that one of those drugs that, you know, that often, again, on the forums, oh, Solmet, coccidiosis, Solmet, coccidiosis, Solmet. Is that one of those drugs that truly, if you, for example, call the manufacturer, call the company and say, you know, if I give this to them, is that one of those drugs that technically you can never, ever eat the eggs from that bird?
That's correct.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that, because people, when you say that, look at you like you're crazy. And I try to explain to them. I know I can't do a good job as you are, you know, explaining it to them. But on often of the drugs you talk about, it's, and just like Wormer, like the Wazine, you know, technically there's no period that you're going to get. It's illegal for that company to say, because no study's been done of when it's safe to eat the eggs after you give this Wormer. So the companies just fall back and say, technically, legally, once you give Solmet or the Wazine, you can't eat the eggs from your chickens anymore, as long as they live, according to us.
Yeah, we're still going round and round trying to get a reasonable answer from the Food and Drug Administration concerning the use of the medications and then eating the eggs. And to date, I have no response from anybody. I've got several people that are trying to get responses besides myself, and we have not had anything back from them. What is scary about it to some extent is some of the medications, ivermectin for one thing, in meat animals has a very long withdrawal time. And that is a little bit of a scary thing. And I know we're talking about eating eggs, which technically get cleaned out fairly quickly. But the one of the sheets that I saw on the ivermectin, I believe it was a 48-day clean out. That's a long time. That's a long, long time. And it just, you know, I like to err on the side of caution, and I like to be accurate in the information that I give out. And like I've said in the past, you know, folks want to argue about it, and that's okay. I'm not in the argumentative mood. There's a little button on my phone called hang up. And, you know, when it gets to that point, I bail out. But, you know, because I'm trying to do it right, and you can only deal with the truth. And, you know, right at this moment in this country here, there are no medications, basically, that you can give to birds. Now, vitamins are excluded. They're not medications. So you can basically dump all the vitamins you want in the water and be happy with that. But in answer to your question, yes, that is true. It is one of the medications. All of your sulfa drugs have the same warning on them, but some are harsher than others. There's one that used to be available. It's no longer available now, which was sulfaquinoxalin, which was extremely hard on the kidneys. It was the worst of the sulfa drugs, for that matter. And what it does is it crystallizes the kidney. You get these urates turned to almost like crystals, and they can't be flushed out, and then the bird starts to lose kidney function and it goes downhill from there. But for coccidiosis, you want to try to get on a coccidiosis control program. And like I said, rotate starting at about 10 days of age. You want to use either the Ampryl powder or the sulfadimethoxine, and use one month, use one the next month, and rotate them around. If you're interested in eating the eggs and you don't want to have a problem with withdrawal times, I would suggest that you use the Ampryl. To my knowledge, there is no withdrawal time listed on the bag whatsoever. It's actually an antagonist, which means that what it does is it ties up the thiamine, which is a B vitamin in the bird system, that will that the oocysts that are causing the coccidiosis need to survive. So they'll ingest the Ampryl, and they find out it's not the vitamin, and then they end up dying. The other thing you want to do is you want to your enemy, as far as the cocci is concerned, what helps make it thrive is heat and moisture. We see this a lot in houses where in pens where they've let the water go, and or the water gets tipped over and they never clean it up, and that wet spot stays there. It's just a haven for this stuff. So if you keep the bedding relatively dry, which is tough to do now, we're in a rainy season. That's another reason I brought up coccidiosis, because this is the time of the year you're really going to see it. Like here today, we've got about 80 some odd degrees temperature outside, but you can cut the air with a knife. It's so humid out. That's moisture. That gets into your bedding. Your shavings all absorb that. Give the birds more room. The concentration of droppings all in one spot is what makes this stuff blow up and really cause problems. So I just wanted to throw it out there and remind people that the birds don't have to die from it. It's readily taken care of, just real simple, with some Ampryl, some sulfadimethoxine, between the two of them, rotating them around. And you do this up until the birds reach sexual maturity, 14, 16 weeks of age. The idea then is, by using it once a month, is to allow the bird to build some natural immunity to it, and hopefully during that period of time they will have done so. And then you treat then on an as-needed basis. First bird that looks like it's getting lethargic, you start treating again. And so that's what I would consider doing for the coccidiosis. It's a real quick synopsis of what it is, what it does. I don't think you need to know the different strains, but there's at least 9 of them that infect chickens, at least 4 to 5 of them being the type that cause bleeding in the intestine, and some of them are just downright nasty, and they will kill birds in short order. That's one of the things to look at this time of the year. The other, because we're raising chicks, a lot of folks are crowding them, we'll start looking at behavioral problems. I've always had a problem with anti-pick lotions because nobody puts them on until after the problem has started, and not that most people would bother to put them on beforehand, but we have forgotten that birds are foragers, And when they get satiated with all the feed that they can eat at one sitting, they're like children. And they sit around and look at each other and see who they can pick on. And it doesn't take much. It takes a beam of light coming through a crack in a board, a shadow falling on another bird. It can be almost anything. A bird with some droppings attached to the end of its tail. It can be a haven for them to just start picking and picking. One picks, the other picks. If you want to see what I'm talking about, just take when you first hatch out a bunch of biddies, put them in a little box, take your car keys and just shake them over top of their head and see if they don't all start pecking at those keys. And they will do that. So give them a little bit of room. Don't make them too hot. Don't make them too cold. And when you they get a little size on them, if they should start picking, give them some deterrence. Sometimes a polished bowling ball for them to look at themselves will do the trick. The other times, taking a head of lettuce and hanging it from a spike from the ceiling, letting them peck at it. It's a great deterrent. And so things like that, help quite a bit. You can do just about anything, be innovative. In actuality, lowering the lights down in the building. They need no more light in that building than if you were sitting on the floor trying to read a newspaper. And as long as you can barely read that newspaper, that's all the light they need.
So, quick question, and this goes back to the question some in the chat room about coccidiosis. The people were at, and someone asked me, do you give your chicks medicated feed their first, say, first 8 weeks, and will that prevent the coccidiosis? And, of course, I think you and I both agree, going back to good husbandry practices, mm-hmm. keeping your brooder clean is probably number one. And I've done both over the years. I have given medicated, I haven't. And, of course, Amprolium is the medicated feed, or what's in the most, I think, of the medicated chick starter. Mm-hmm. And my understanding, it's such a small, minute amount in there. People get concerned about, oh, I want to raise my chicks completely organic, da-da-da-da-da. But from everybody that I've talked to, it's such a small amount in there as far as in a 50-pound bag, how much is actually in there. But that other than keeping good husbandry practices, if you feed the medicated starter, that can prevent not all, of course, not perfect, but a coccidiosis outbreak with your flock.
In some cases, it can. It depends on the exposure of coccidia that you're dealing with. Mm-hmm. The greater the problem you have, the harder it is for the medicated feed to really be of value. And I'll explain what the deal is. Feed mills are required by law to follow what they call good feed manufacturing process, and they use a book called a feed additive compendium. It's the Bible for feed mills. Every medication, including Amprol and others, are in that book in the concentration they can be used, from the least amount to the maximum amount, and what other medications can be mixed in with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it is the Bible, and they have to adhere to that. The problem comes in, Andy's making feed, and he puts in, let's say, just for argument's sake, 1% Amprol. And I'm making feed, and I put in 2% Amprol. Well, that 1% makes my feed more expensive. So I want $2 a bag more for my feed, because my feed is better from a medication standpoint than Andy's feed. And that would basically be a true statement. The problem is nobody wants to pay the extra $2 because none of them care until they have a problem. So all of the feed mills, so that it can be competitive as possible, will all put the least amount allowed by law, which may be that 1%. I don't know the exact amount off the top of my head, but it's that type of a scenario. So in some cases, for those folks who don't have a great exposure to coccidiosis, medicated feed is all they'll ever need. What I'm saying to people and talking about coccidiosis now is pay attention. Look at these birds. They don't need to die like they're dying. It's crazy. The keeping some medication on hand to get yourself out of trouble when trouble strikes, and it does. A flooded pen, you come home and the big 5-gallon water you had set up in the pen was working fine when you left. The O-ring gave out on it. Now you got 5 gallons of water all over the place. You're busy. You got dinner to get on the table. You got kids barking at you for homework. So what do? You take some shavings and you throw it down over top of it. And after a couple of days, you've forgotten all about it. You get a new water, you put it in there. Everything's fat, dumb, and happy, except under that bedding that you put in there, you've now got this 5 gallons of liquid. You've got all these droppings fermenting in there. You've got the coccidia running wild. And now you're going to have a problem on your hands that the medicated feed is not going to help.
Yeah.
And that's generally the way it works. You know, from that standpoint. But that's why I brought it up in the first place. All you have to do is pay attention. It's real, real simple. It's kind of like watching your kid. You know, you can tell when they got a dirty diaper, right? Kind of like the same scenario. You know, you look out there in the morning and somebody's head's down, and you know that wasn't that way the day before. You know, it's time to take a look at them. And that's all I'm trying to say. And it's easy. It's cheap. It's not overly expensive. If you stay on top of it, it becomes more expensive as the mortality picks up. You know, I've had a saying.
I'm glad you brought up this argument.
Yeah, I've had a saying that I've said for many, many years, that dead birds don't pay bills. They don't. Whether it's in the commercial poultry industry or any other industry or hobby. When they're dead, they're gone, and they're not useful to hardly anybody at that point. So just a little paying attention can cause help to keep you from having a lot of grief. You know, a lot of children involved in these things and don't understand the mortality and what have you. So it can be prevented. It's real simple and not overly difficult. But I would start my birds out on a medicated starter. I definitely would.
Great.
I think it's the smartest thing to do. Actually, in a lot of places, trying to find a non-medicated starter is almost impossible.
Many times it is. You are absolutely correct. Around here, I think I found some... way back when at Tractor Supply, I think they had some non-medicated, but most of my local feed and seed stores that were closer just carried the medicated.
Yeah, and one of the reasons you're not going to find it, okay, is throughput through a mill. If I can make 500 tons of medicated starter, why do I want to stop and make 10 tons of non-medicated? You know, the cost of making the non-medicated actually now becomes, because of the small throughput through the plant, now becomes more expensive than the 500 ton that I did of the medicated. So that's one of the reasons why you don't see it. Either. Most places are trying to keep inventory down, not add to it. And
it's not in the organic feed then.
Well,
or is it?
I don't know what's approved for organic, and organic is a strange term. I'm not sure exactly what it means. I really don't. You know, we have some corn out there that's genetically engineered. Is to eat that? Is that organic? It's not, certainly not natural. So it's hard to tell. I really don't follow that crowd too much. If it makes a person happy that they're eating something that they think is organic, more power to them. If they're happy with it, I'm happy with it. I don't try to tell people how to live, that's for sure. I've got enough trouble straightening my own stuff up. So.
I love it.
Oh, that's what I just always wondered, because everybody pushes organic or everybody medicated, and I've just always used medicated because I didn't want my chicks to get sick.
If it's Ampro, I think that you're just fine. It does not have a designation on a bag as an organic product, but it's probably going to be the closest thing you're going to get to it in that respect. But just look at it this way: if you're raising birds commercially for an organic purpose, what do you do with them when they get sick? It's the age-old question: what do you do with them when they get sick? Do you just watch them die and keep the survivors? That could be ugly.
Very ugly.
You know, I mean, and in this day and age, from a monetary standpoint, I mean, if you have grown any reasonable amount of birds, 200, 300, 400, 500 birds, and you've got all the heat that you use to keep them going, the feed, whatever, the labor, that could be devastating. So my hunch is the majority of people out there, and it's just me speaking with no scientific stuff to back it up, it's just an opinion of my own that I've formed over the years, that when people get in trouble, they'll medicate them, and who knows. I've got a sign up says it's organic. You come and you buy it, and you wouldn't know the difference anyway.
Mm-hmm. Nope.
One,
not unless you work there.
Yeah. One last question, and then we'll move on to the next topic because we don't want to have the whole show coccidiosis. But we had a question in there twice about raising ducks, baby ducks and chicks together regarding, number one, the coccidiosis. Can the ducks get the same strain of cocci as the chickens? Number two, I'm going to explain what a food scientist had told me about a year and a half ago, because there have been for years information that you don't want to give your baby ducks the medicated starter like you're giving your baby chicks, and I've heard that millions of times. And it may still be absolutely warranted not to give your baby ducks the medicated chick starter that you're giving your chicks, but I did have a food scientist tell me that that all got started many, many years ago when medicated chick starter had a different medication in it than it does today versus the Ampro. It had a different, apparently a different medication in it way back when that wasn't good for the baby ducks to have because they would just eat too much of it and it would hurt them or kill them. And but this was about a year ago. And he said that with most medicated chick starters today, it is also safe for baby ducks. So that's two things. One, can the coccidiosis spread from the chicks to the ducks? And two, your opinion on the medicated chick starter for the baby ducks as well.
Well, let's take the first one. The first one, can the coccidia from the chicken spread to the ducks and vice versa? The answer is no. Okay. Coccidiosis is host specific. Human coccidiosis doesn't transfer to chickens and vice versa. Each species has its own, and it's specific to it. Pigeons have their own, cattle have their own, humans, dogs, cats. It's all specific to the specific species. So that's not a problem. And ducks don't seem to have quite the problem with coccidiosis as do chickens. And that may be because they spend more time or should be spending more time in the water, but that's another story. The other question was, I can't remember what the other question was now. Refresh my memory there.
Oh, yeah. The issue about the you hear a lot, and I've heard it for years, that you shouldn't give baby chicks medicated chick starter, that they need a different type of feed. And then my issue was that, or a food scientist from one of the big feed companies told me that years ago, yes, that was a problem based on the medication they were putting in the medicated chick starter. But now the medication they're putting in the small amounts, his opinion, I guess, being a food scientist, well, it wasn't an issue. But we wanted to ask you that.
And the answer to the question there, as long as it's Ampro-L at this point, it's not an issue.
Okay, good.
Okay, he's probably talking about back in the day when they used to use Nicarb. And Nicarb killed a lot of things besides ducks. So, you know, most people don't use that kind of stuff anymore. It's still out there, but it's not as heavily used as it once was. And again, going back to feed mills and stuff, and not to try to put them on trial here because that's not my purpose, but for the most part, they'll use the least cost. And back in the day, it probably was the least cost. And there was another one that was made by Salisbury Laboratories called Zoomix, and I'm not sure whether Zoomix had a label on it or was detrimental to ducks. But ducks are not as sensitive to medications as people think they are. I don't know how these things get started. Maybe because somebody took a duck that was ill and gave it something and it died anyway, so therefore the medication killed the duck rather than the disease they were trying to cure. Because I kind of run into that all the time. I'm very proactive about, medicating. Not that that's the first thing I want to do, but when you've got an animal, a bird that's dying, you can't stand around and just try to decide whether medication is going to kill the chicken. You make a decision. You're either going to medicate it or you're going to watch it die, and so be it. I'm the other way around. I'm going to medicate it first and then see where we go. And I've been very successful over the years taking that approach.
Mm-hmm.
As people know me, I very rarely tell people to put birds down. Number one, they're not my birds. Number two, it's not my decision to make. Number three, if you ask me my opinion, if they were my birds, then I will give you my opinion. This happened just yesterday. A gal was in a very remote state in a remote location with no medication with a bunch of sick birds. And it seemed to be spreading from bird to bird, and inadvertently it put some healthy birds in with some sick birds, and then they all end up sick and they're dying. And you know, when I was asked my opinion, I said, you know, put them out of their misery. You can't help them. You've not got any medication that's going to be effective. There's nothing in the feed store to help her. So, you know, that's a rarity for me to do that. But in being fair to the birds, that's what should have been done.
Great. Okay. But, let's move on.
Okay, we were moving on to behavior. And as the birds get a little size on them, you've got to give them a little bit more room. You can do the deterrent thing. You can do less lights. You can give them more space. You can give them things to take their mind off of each other. The key to stopping picking is to do not let them become bored, because when they are bored, they will be just like children, and they will be into everything. And that most of the time, it's each other. You get different breeds, different degrees of aggression in each bird, especially roosters as they start to mature and that kind of thing, and start to push each other around and start to push the hens around. So, but there are other things you can do. I've been on some sites recently, and some people have had problems with roosters. They claim, you know, carry them around all day with you. Well, I don't know about you, but I ain't got time to carry nothing around all day like that. And other people want to beat them on the head with a stick. There are other things. There are such things now, and they've been out for a long, long time, called peepers. Real simple,
yep.
Not overly complicated. And generally, you don't have to keep them on forever. You put them on to teach them a lesson that, you know, if you can't be a good pen mate, then you can't play. And so it limits their vision forward and takes a lot of the aggression and the steam right out of them right away. And the newer ones that are on the market, which I do carry them on my website, they run about 50 cents a piece. They're called pinless peepers, which do not require you to push a pin through the membrane in a nostril. Although breaking the membrane is of no real consequence, you don't have to do it. A lot of people don't like the feeling it gives them when they push these pins through. So these are pinless peepers. They're put on with a pair of snap ring pliers. You just put the plier in it, squeeze the handle, it opens it up, you set it down over the nostril, and two little pins go in and just hold it in place there, and they work perfect. And lots of times that will deter birds, especially aggressive birds, from picking and flying up at you and that kind of stuff. Real simple. And I read on one of the sites, I think it was your meetup site, Andy, somebody on there was using a different approach, and if it works, it's fine. But again, having the time to do it more than once, taking the aggressive bird and holding its head down to the ground like another rooster might, and teaching it a lesson. But I've seen where that works and where it doesn't work. So, but I wanted to bring that up as far as, because it's the time of the year when we see it, and I'm not for hitting them in the head with a stick. So that's the behavior part of it. Seeing a lot of favus, which is a fungus, generally on the face, around the eyes of birds, on the comb. Be careful. It's a lot of it out there. I've handled two cases this week alone. It's the time of year for it, moisture and heat. So just keep an eye on it. It's a slow spreader. It doesn't spread very quickly. I don't suspect that you would see a ton of birds within a flock have it, but generally we'll look at maybe two or three birds that within a flock that will have it. Appears on the face as a white substance. In some cases can be honeycombed, but I often refer to it as a bird looks like you took some cooking flour and you just flung it in its face and stuck wherever. And that's generally what it looks like. The other thing with this disease to keep in mind is that it can transmit to humans very readily. And again, it is a fungal problem. Can be cured sometimes by taking the bird and getting some iodine and putting the iodine directly on the fungus will do it. Some of the creams that you use for athlete's foot will work. One of the cases that I've handled this week, the athlete's foot stuff wouldn't work. Kind of like half did the job. In that case, we move on to things like ketoconazole, fluconazole, which can be given, I have them here in three different ways, as a tablet for using it from the internal side, a shampoo to wash the comb and if it gets under the feathers, and then a cream to put on top of it, over the top of it. So you can do things like that. And the shampoo has a 1% ketoconazole solution, and the cream is a 2%, which is a lot stronger. So we can use those items to clear it up and get rid of it. Just be aware that this is the time of the year we're starting to see it. And I would say in the last month,
what's the name of the fungus again?
It's called Favus, F-A-V-U-S. The technical name for it is Trichophyton gallinae. That's T-R-I-C-H-O-P-H-Y-T-O-N, and then gallinae, G-A-L-L-I-N-A-E.
Okay, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Can you put the pinless peepers on turkeys? Do they make some that big?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yep, there is a the pinless peeper is fairly large within itself. So, but it should work for them. If not, you'll have to go to a larger one that they do make for turkeys. But it's a great deterrent, easy to use, non harmful to anybody, and generally after they've calmed down, maybe 3-4 weeks, you can try taking it off and see if they can get along with everybody. And it usually does take the steam out of them. And if they start doing it, just put them right back on. It's a great tool, great tool. Like I said, I've always had a bone to pick with the anti-picks because nobody puts them on beforehand, and you wouldn't. They're sloppy, they're messy, and generally don't do the job anyway. The other item that I wanted to speak about that I feel is very important, we're seeing with this is coryza season. This is mycoplasma season, and with those two diseases come eye problems. And with these eye problems, we get these swelling around the eyes, the conjunctiva of the eye, the tissue within the eyelid, swelling profusely to the point where you can't hardly open it, and if you do, you can't even see the eyeball. The eyeball is getting pushed way back in the head and that type of thing. These are technically easily cured. You can use some Tylan injectable as an eye drop directly into the eye if you have nothing else. If you do have the Tylan, you can use it as a nasal flush to flush out the nostril. The way you would do that is to mix some of the Thailand with some sterile water that you can boil on the stove, and then pull it up in a syringe, take the needle off, put the tip of that syringe directly over the nostril, and then force it through, holding the bird's head down so you don't aspirate the bird, and then letting it fall out the mouth. And do that a couple of times a day, along with putting the Thailand directly in the eye, will make a difference.
And what is this used for?
This is for when you get these swollen eyes from these. Sometimes you get a swollen eye and there isn't any other disease entity that seems to be causing the problem. And for that, you can use the same thing. Sometimes they'll peck the ground, get a little something in the eye, and it causes the eye to weep and swell up and stuff. So.
I've had them do like that and have a nasal discharge.
If they have a nasal discharge, it can do the same thing. I would treat with some antibiotics and a drinking water, but I would also do the nasal flush. Helps it go away faster. It gets antibiotic directly to where the problem area is. Because if you don't take care of the eye, what happens to it is they get this opaquish white film growing over the eyeball, and then they go blind, even if you get the swelling down. And we use a two different types of eye drops here, a neopoly dexamethasone, with the dexamethasone taking the swelling down. And then we also use a ciprofloxacin, cipro eye drop, which is very effective in straightening up that. So, but it's easy to do. All you need is 1 or 2 cc's of the Thailand to 3 or 4 tablespoons of sterile water in a clean cup that you're going to throw away after you're done. And just mix it up. And the water can be warm. You just don't want it to be hot. And backflush it through the nostril, and works very well.
Don't want to, of course, I don't want to rush you. We got 10 minutes. I'm going to actually give away our prize today on Facebook so we can continue with about 10 more minutes of this great information. I want to remind all of our listeners or let you know that today's secret password is SPUR. Today's secret password, you know those things on the rooster's legs, SPUR. And so that's today's secret password. Also, kind of relating, it just popped into my head, you talking about the syringe and using and drops and things like that. I think you wanted to also, before the show ended, kind of, because you were dealing with this on the phone, with, you know, what, out of all this stuff, you know, we've talked about things to have on hand versus, oh, I have a sick bird, now I got to call and do a consultation, now I have to order the stuff, and then I have to get it, and by then my bird could be dead, it could be progressed so much, about things you would recommend, I think you were going to talk about that, Peter, having on hand for the coryza or for the respiratory problem or for the coccidiosis, things like that. And again, don't want to rush you. Got about 9 minutes left, and I knew that was one thing you wanted to share with people about really what to have on hand, which could save your birds versus trying to figure out what's wrong and then order it and then wait for it to get there and then treat your bird and the whole nine yards.
Yeah, and a lot of times, you know, by the time stuff gets there, even if you, you know, sometimes even if you're having it overnighted, which is, you know, the cost is ridiculous, you know, the bird succumbs to it anyway. I like to see folks keep a little bit of vitamins, electrolytes around. Doesn't have to be anything big. There's a package we sell called Vital. It's a very good pack. It runs about $4.50. It tells you on the package how to mix it by the gallon, as well as in larger quantities. So it's chicken friendly. The other thing I would probably keep either some sulfadimethoxine or some Ampril around. I probably wouldn't keep both, probably one or the other. And then the other thing that I would do is I would keep some Oxytet on hand, and that's about it. And my phone is beeping on this end. His battery's probably about ready to go dead. So if I lose you, it's not because I hung up on you. So we'll just keep going until it quits. But and the reason I don't want you to keep a lot of stuff around is it's dated. If it outdates on you, you got to throw it away. So you don't want to keep a ton of stuff. You want to keep something. The Oxytet will work for most respiratory issues, at least get you started. Either the Ampril or the sulfadimethoxine will help you for coccidiosis. So you'll have something to go with. For another thing I want to throw out there real quick for you folks that are getting chicks shipped in from hatcheries, the first thing you should do before you give those birds any feed is give them some water with vitamins, electrolytes in it. Dip their beaks in it. They've got a rough, tough road to hoe getting to you, and they're more than likely dehydrated. Most people don't understand that birds can only last 72 hours from the time they were hatched, not the time they were shipped. You have no idea how long they spent in that hatchery. Okay, and if they've been delayed getting to you, make sure they're drinking, and then turn around and feed them. You'll have a better survival rate by doing that. And don't give them plain water, only if you have to, because once the vitamin electrolyte, the electrolyte balance reaches a certain level, the more water you give them, the quicker they'll dehydrate, and that goes for humans as well. Mm-hmm. So you just don't want to do that. And so a little bit of vitamins, electrolytes in the water, put their beak in it, make them drink, and after maybe half an hour of watching them drink and everything else, then put their feet out and let them eat all they want. That should do it.
What's the phone may die here in just a second. The what is it? Is a grow gel, sure gel.
The grow gel is a great thing to use. We call it Chick Saver on our site, and we I buy it from the same manufacturer that makes the. I just buy it in bulk, and I have my own brand. And right now, until we change the label. You can get 5 100-dose packages for $9.95, where everybody else is selling, I think, the 100-dose for $3, so it's a bargain. And it has everything they need to, you mix it with water, and it expands it from 7 grams of powder to feeding 100-day-old chicks right up front. And it's got everything they need in it to get going, including moisture from the water that you're going to add to it.
When we were at the big poultry expo here in Atlanta, from people from all over the world, we broadcast live there, and I interviewed the manufacturer of that, and he came up and told us about that stuff. So I want to say I've used it once or twice, but wanted to get your two cents worth on it because I knew it's something that that you can do. I may be wrong, but I thought that you, with some hatcheries, you could request and pay a little bit more for them to go ahead and put some grow gel because it's not liquid. You know, you mix it with, you could put that in the container. I may be just dreaming that, but I thought some hatcheries would, you could pay a little extra and they would put that grow gel in the shipping container for the chicks to have something for that 2, maybe 3 days that they're being shipped. And if not, then that's something you can give as soon as you get them out of the shipping container and give that to them as well, that has everything they need for it.
Yeah, and that may be true. I don't know that's true or not, but it stands to reason that it would be a smart thing to do. I know a lot of the big commercial breeders that provide the breeding stock to very large farms and stuff, they're using it, especially for stuff where they're shipping birds internationally and stuff like that.
Great. All righty. Well, Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor, founder of First State Vet Supply. Thank you very much, and you can visit him, firststatevetsupply.com. What a great, great episode. And, again, always get tons of comments when you're on. They love the show. They love you. It's awesome, great information. You tell us like it is. Bottom line, take it or leave it. Not going to argue with them. Hey, you know, that if you want to save your bird, I'm telling you what to do. So, and we love that. We love that. And so thank you. And I want to thank you for being on. We'll see you in a couple more weeks.
My pleasure. Take care.
I've really learned a lot today. Thank you.
You're welcome.
And so, again, folks, take advantage of that program that Peter Brown has, unique, only kind in the country, and it baffles me. I get tons of requests. I hear a lot of the issues on the Facebook page. Oh, my! The closest avian vet's 2 hours away. There's not one here. They charge $100, $150 just to see the bird, and then I have all this other stuff on top of that. Or, you know, I go to the feed store. Oh, I'll just get online to this forum and get the information, which ends up being wrong, and you have dead birds. So, I mean, what's the value of a bird? Or maybe your entire flock of birds. The time, not just, oh, I can get a chicken for $3, but then your time and the feed and the effort over months of raising this chicken, and then the eggs, the future eggs you're going to get, the pet aspect, $25 will get you a consultation with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. And then, again, most of the time that's waived if there is something that could help your flock or that sick bird live and survive that you're going to get anyway, then that $25 is waived based on the items that you get from his website. So then you're getting free information, and then you're buying stuff that you need anyway. So take advantage of that, folks. It's awesome, and you're going to get the right information the first time and start treating those birds faster with what they actually need. FirstStateVetSupply.com. Peter Brown, again, thank you very much for coming on. Red Hawk, thank you very much for being our co-host today. It's a pleasure to have you. I'm sure when Pat
enjoyed it, Andy. Thank you.
Thank you. And I think when Pat returns tomorrow, she'll give us an earful about the conference she attended today about poultry waste in her area, in her county, what they're doing with it, and different plans, and Roxer Zone, and the runoff, and the arsenic that's in the runoff, the whole nine yards there. And then also tomorrow, we're going to welcome Richard Frudenberger again, and he is the publisher of Back Home Magazine. Again, bring that spiral notebook again. We'll be on tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer. And so, in lieu of Pat being gone, I will just say for Pat, we love you all. Thank you very much for tuning in today, and may the flock be with you. We'll see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Thanks for tuning in. Oh, secret password is spur. I think we already said that, but just to confirm, secret password today. It's hard to say with half my face not working. Spur. All righty. Thanks, folks. Bye-bye.